A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. We command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to avoid any brother who wanders from the straight path and does not follow the tradition you received from us. You know how you ought to imitate us. We did not live lives of disorder when we were among you, nor depend on anyone for food. Rather, we worked day and night, laboring to the point of exhaustion, so as not to impose on any of you. Not that we had no claim on you, but that we might present ourselves as an example for you to imitate. Indeed, when we were with you, we used to lay down the rule that anyone who would not work should not eat. May he who is the Lord of peace give you continued peace in every possible way. The Lord be with you all. The gospel reading is from St. Matthew. Stop worrying over questions like, what are we to eat, or what are we to drink, or what are we to wear? The unbelievers are always running after these things. Your Heavenly Father knows all you need. Seek first His kingship over you, His way of holiness, and all these things will be given you besides. Enough then of worrying about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Today has troubles enough of its own. The Gospel of the Lord. I've chosen readings for today's Mass from the lectionary offerings for the blessing of human labor. They highlight two very different evaluations of labor found in sacred scripture. Writing to the Thessalonians, Paul emphasizes the importance of work for the good of the community, pointing to the fact that when he was with them, he worked day and night to avoid being a burden on his converts and to give them an example. He goes so far as to insist that those who do not work should not eat. Matthew, on the other hand, seems to place little value on human activity. Before the passage I just read, he has Jesus pointing to the birds of the air and the lilies of the field as examples for those who would follow him, examples of how little we should care for the things that toil and labor can provide. In view of the widely divergent attitudes concerning human labor that Scripture contains, it is not surprising that the Church has spoken so often about the proper value of human effort and industry. In 1891, Pope Leo XIII devoted the encyclical letter Rerum Novarum to organizing a Catholic response to the effects of economic changes in an industrialized society. He rebutted the contention of Marx that capital and labor are necessarily in conflict. He argued that both are necessary for a well-ordered society and that neither can get along without the other. He also stated that religion can assist in providing a framework in which these two important contributors to the modern economic order can work in harmony for the good of all people. This assertion that the Church has a role to play in guiding the world in matters of social justice has led to a series of Church documents. The Second Vatican Council expressed its hope for a world in which human efforts to achieve the goal of peace and well-being for all people in two documents, Gaudium et Spes and Dignitatis Humanae. Pope Paul VI drew upon these resources when he recast the Church's social teaching to address the problems of a growing global economy in his 1967 encyclical Populorum Progressio. He pictured human beings as creators with God in finishing and perfecting the work God himself had begun in the original creation. He said, God gave man intelligence, sensitivity, and the power of thought, tools with which to finish and perfect the work he began. Every worker is to some extent a creator. He are artist, craftsman, executive, laborer, or farmer. Here Pope Paul recognizes the importance of all who work, whether in the office or in the shop. Most recently, our present Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, has retuned the social teaching of the Church to address the current problems of world economy in his recent encyclical Caritas in Veritate. This encyclical, which had been planned to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Populorum Progressio, was delayed for almost 3 years, in part to give the Pope time to develop a response to the worldwide recession that began in 2007. It started in the United States with the collapse of huge financial institutions due to unwise speculation with investors' funds. In the face of the worldwide repercussions of a relatively small number of people profiting from high-risk lending practices, Pope Benedict urged the regulation of the financial sector to safeguard weaker parties and to discourage scandalous speculation. He suggested experimenting with new forms of finance and aimed at development and highlighting responsibility of investors. It's no easy matter to balance what should be our Christian concern about achieving the heavenly kingdom with the responsibility of caring for God's creation here on earth. The challenges change as the world changes, and so the Church must continue to speak. In the midst of the difficulties rising from what is basically human greed, we need wise advice, but we also need vision and hope. A friend of mine, Father Ed Bodner, a Jesuit of Georgetown University, recently sent me a poem for Labor Day that he had composed from his reflections on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. The opening lines have given me a new appreciation of the Church's view of human work, and so I close with his words. The ambiguity of work. Genesis says it's punishment. The thorns and thistles and sweat are Adam's legacy to us, and Eve's too. But Genesis also says God worked. For 6 days God worked. So work must be a good thing too. The last thing he made was us. And he stays on to see his work completed. These are the ways God works, present in a multitude of ways, in nature, in the things we make, in you, in me, in a sacred meal we call Eucharist, not dormant or latent, not merely there, but working to keep us from tumbling back to nothing. To charge us with his own grandeur.